Mass Resistance. Local news and views you won't hear anywhere else. Mass Resistance. Your opinion counts with Brian Kamenker. Mass Resistance. Get involved. Become a part of the solution. Mass Resistance. Boston's Conservative Talk. 1150 WTTT.
Hello, everyone. This is Brian Kamenker, and you are listening to Radio Free Massachusetts, Mass Resistance Radio on WTTT 1150 AM. This radio show is heard every Saturday from 3 till 4 p.m., repeated every Sunday from 7 till 8 p.m. Around Saturday afternoon, we get it up on the web, massresistance.org, where you should be going to every day anyway for all of the latest stuff. And you can hear the latest show at any time. Just go to massresistance.org and we redo it then. Also go to our hard-hitting blog.
The blog that the other side really hates.
They really do. Here, and we have Amy, Ms. Mass Resistance.
This is Amy.
And the other side hates the Mass Resistance blog.
They hate Brian. Those are the haters out there.
Oh, do they hate it? It is.
We shower them with love, but what do we get in return?
Okay, and we've got a powerful show. We're going to be talking later on with Andrea Lafferty of Traditional Values Coalition in Washington, D.C., and Bill Cotter of Operation Rescue. But this past week, a couple of things. First of all, we talked in our last show about Youth Pride Day coming up last Saturday, and would Governor Deval Patrick go? And would your phone calls informing him that the idea of a governor of Massachusetts getting an award from a drag queen maybe not be a good idea? Well, up until the very last minute, the governor's office would not, they basically wouldn't confirm or deny that he was going to be there. And then, guess what? He didn't show. There was a big announcement that Governor Deval Patrick had, another engagement that he had to go to.
A previous engagement. That's what they said.
And so we're going to be talking about that. The other thing which went on, I believe it was Tuesday, was the first ever in Massachusetts.
And the country,
Transgender Lobbying Day. 120. It was more like the 60 transgenders and others went from door to door in the state house and had a press conference on a bizarre bill that is before the state legislature that would basically force cross-dressing on the Commonwealth and its related addictions and weirdnesses.
Well, it wouldn't only do that. It would also put this stuff into the schools.
Into the public schools, big time.
It would ban any kind of discrimination on the basis. Sexual orientation's already in there, but this would add gender, identity, or expression.
And even speaking out about it.
Right.
You know, a teacher comes in as a man one day and as a woman the next day, you better not make a bad comment. And then they're already talking about the Transgender Awareness Days that they're going to be having, and this will be pushed into companies and everywhere else. And let me tell you, they are well-funded and well-organized to push this through your legislature.
This is a deadly serious issue, and Governor Deval Patrick would sign the bill if it gets through the legislature.
It is lunatic, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to be posting our report on this. We're going to try to get it up at the end of this weekend. But what we should have up by the time you hear this show is the report on the Youth Pride Day, and it was, well,
We're still waiting for the proclamation that the governor issued on Youth Pride Day, which happened this past Saturday, May 12th. What's interesting is the proclamation was read.
He had a proclamation.
The proclamation was read by someone else, and she was jumping up and down with excitement because it's the first time in the country that any governor proclaimed a celebration of not only gay and lesbian youth, but of bisexual and transgender youth.
This was Kathleen Henry, I believe.
Kathleen Henry, the former head of the Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth, which they've now added bisexual and transgender to. all illegally, of course. But yeah, she was jumping up and down. This is so great. This is so wonderful. So we're still trying to get the proclamation. Now, I had to say something to the governor's staff. If it's a proclamation, it should be publicly available because he was enjoining the whole population of Massachusetts
they don't
celebrate
seem to want
this.
To make it too available.
So it's sort of
we
weird. A proclamation
that.
That's not public, we can't quite get that. It's not online yet.
We'll so basically, the governor didn't show up, but he issued a proclamation. Mm-hmm. And what, I mean, the kinds of things we saw, a lot of adults mingling with the kids, a lot of weird adults.
Well, that is the most disturbing thing, and that's why they didn't want any of us there. There were quite a few of us there observing. A few people were taking photographs. And, you know, what I would describe this as the Pied Piper leading the children to very dangerous places. You know, it's the Pied, and Pied Piper, of course, means the colorful outfit that the Piper wore. He's, you know, basically hypnotizing these kids. And that's what the modern propaganda is. It's a way of hypnotizing these kids. They use all these brightly colored balloon arches, and all the kids are dressed in their brightly colored
outfits
with the rainbows everywhere.
In, you know, the men in their dresses. And
well,
the just the really, really bizarre. I mean, these are very disturbed people.
Well, we saw a lot of cross-dressers there, adults. This is supposed to be a kids' event. I think that is the most disturbing aspect of the day.
And these were invited people. In other words, they were attracted.
Yeah, we saw it wasn't just the drag queen that hosted, that emceed the stuff on the podium. It was also, there was this huge person walking around, a man dressed in this bizarre skirt outfit with these sparkly platform shoes with really freakish makeup on. And I believe his role was as an outreach to the youth about safe sex. And this person goes around the fens distributing lube and supposedly protective devices and
to
homosexual men who are cruising in these outdoor places. And the Bay Windows newspaper has reported in an interview with this person has said, "I want the cruising to continue." Okay, this is the kind of people that were at the Youth Pride event, and we believe invited.
And that were brought there, yes.
Yeah, we believe they were an official part of it.
We have a lot of pictures of this, and we have some
we also saw, we couldn't believe this one group of people we saw. It was these really hefty guys wearing shorts with tattoos all over their body. This one guy had his head shaved with a mohawk and tattoos all over his scalp. Looked really, really dangerous. They must have been in their 30s, 40s. And with some real tough-looking women with them. And they're just sitting there right around the tables where the kids are congregating and signing up for this and that. Mm-hmm. And all these adults selling stuff and collecting kids' names. What the heck is that all about? Very, very scary to us to observe this. And I think one of the scariest things was one of the organizers of the Bagley prom at the end of the day said, well, you can't take pictures because what if this kid is outed and, you know, these kids, their parents don't know. They'd be outed to their parents. Well, yeah, exactly. I think the parents need to know about this. Yeah. And that's exactly what they're trying to do is hide it from the parents. A lot of the kids were there without their parents' knowledge, though I also saw quite a few mothers dropping off their children. That is hard to understand.
It's
a very dangerous event. It is not just rainbow balloons and candy.
And this is your government at work. I mean, you know, this is the thing that Deval Patrick, the governor of Massachusetts, does a proclamation to endorse.
And he had his new director of the Department of Public Health there speaking on his behalf.
Oh, as a gay man, he said.
Married to another man.
Married to another man, he
right.
said.
They're making it safe for kids to follow in their footsteps, I guess.
We're going to have this up on massresistance.org. You'll be able to see some pictures and more. Anyway, we're gonna talk a little bit more about this transgender tidal wave that seems to be going around.
And that was a big part of the Youth Pride Day as well.
I mean, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to do something. Anyway, we're going to be right back and talk about that with Andrea Lafferty, Traditional Values Coalition. This is Brian Kammacher with Amy. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio here on WTTT, 1150 AM in Boston. Wow. In our last segment, we talked about Transgender Lobbying Day, the Massachusetts State House, and what's coming down on that. And we also talked about Youth Pride Day and you know, this is bigger than just Massachusetts, unfortunately. It's going on around the country. There seems to be this sudden wave of the transgender movement, if you could believe this, starting who knows where, and also on the national level. And speaking of the national level, we have on the air with us Andrea Lafferty, the executive director of Traditional Values Coalition, which is on the forefront of covering these kinds of movements as they go through Congress and throughout the country, stationed in Washington, D.C., and I believe also in California. Andrea, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me. It's good to be with you. You're absolutely right. This is not just in Massachusetts. This situation is happening all around the country. Last year, Traditional Values Coalition talked about the Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C., regarding, you know, transgender children and youth, and you all have been talking about this issue. And it's, you know, the folks listening to this program really need to sit up and pay attention, because what we used to think was bizarre is now being treated as normal, and it's absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And well, you know what, let me also say one other thing as far as the whole transgender and youth thing goes. I cannot imagine any greater type of self-hatred than to mutilate your body like that and to deny how God made you, and for parents to go along with it, and for parents to push their children into treatments and surgery and all sorts of other things at a small age, I think is an incredible form of child abuse.
To say nothing of the doctors who go along with it and,
right,
in fact, perform these operations and injections. But also, I have a question just in general about the transgender movement. Do you think that the homosexual radicals are using these people cruelly? I mean, because I don't think that many homosexuals would want to do these things to their own bodies. And why are they so eager to ally with this transgender movement? It's a puzzle.
I think there's been a fight for many, many years, and it really wasn't until the last 2 years that the homosexual groups such as HRC and others said, okay, we're going to increase our tent, and we're going to include the transgender type. It was a big fight, and there was a big disagreement. Now they've included them, and it's kumbaya, and they were at the hearing for the hate crime bill, the so-called hate crime bill in the House recently. Together, they sat together, the homosexual lobbyists and the transgendered. And so I just think that they've decided that we're all a part of this outcast community, and we're going to band together.
Do you think there may be an element that because the transgender stuff seems so much further out, it's more far out appearing to the average person, does that thereby make the homosexuality look more normalized?
Well, maybe,
by comparison?
I think it's really that they being the homosexual community, is now banking on the fact that our culture has changed so much that transgender is no longer so out there. And maybe in their own little sick minds and sad minds, they think, well, this will make us look less extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when the facts come out about the behaviors and the diseases that go along with it, and the shorter lifespan, when all those facts come out to the American people, it's still a problem in the normalization, mm-hmm, of homosexuality.
So, Andrea, could you update us on the two federal level bills? One is that hate crimes, especially relating to "quote unquote transgender people," the federal hate crimes bill, that is, and then the other one is the ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. What's going on with those two? And
yeah, well, what's happening right now? The so-called hate crime bill was passed out of committee, voted off the floor, and is now waiting Senate action. And there could be even a hearing this month. We don't know, but it's moving quickly. I don't think they're going to let a lot of grass grow underneath their feet on this issue, because they think they have the upper hand. And for those of your listeners that aren't aware, the so-called hate crime bill had not only sexual orientation but gender identity in it. And what's interesting about the sexual orientation issue is that it is undefined. And when you look at this list of 30 orientations And because I know this is family radio, I won't tell you. But I think the listeners should understand if there's like 30, and this list continues to grow, imagine what they mean. It used to mean, you know, heterosexual. Then it was homosexual and bisexual. And you can imagine other things that are...
Oh, yeah. Without getting too graphic, I mean, you know, sex, you know, objects, you know, sadomasochism. And these are all...
Well,
you know, considered orientation.
One could even call it an orientation or gender expression if you get into things like polygamy or doing things in public places or state of undress in public places or
with people that have lost limbs. I mean, it is if people want to understand the sickness that we're talking about, they can go to traditionalvalues.org and we have the list available to look at. And it is really very sad. It is beyond. You know, imagination, but we need to be educated and informed on these issues.
Mm-hmm. So incest would be another possibility. I bring that up because here in Boston, the Boston Globe columnist Jeff Jacoby actually had an article, just an opinion piece a couple weeks back, pointing out that incest may become lawful very soon, and the slippery slope is real, and even Time magazine is agreeing that the slippery slope is real, and partly because these terms are undefined in the proposed laws or the existing laws that include the phrase sexual orientation.
That's right, and so that's why we need to be very discerning when we look at legislation and see, you know, what they mean. They're not telling us, but we know that different medical associations have definitions of, like we said, sexual orientation, and that's where we come up with this, and that's where we know we're headed.
Right.
They're not going to tell you everything that this legislation will do because they know it would scare the American people to death.
Right.
So we've got this so-called hate crime bill, and one other part of this bill that's not been talked a lot about, they start with the findings, and basically the findings say that hordes of homosexuals and others are fleeing across state lines, and they can't buy goods and services in their states, and they can't get jobs, and that people are chasing them across state lines. Therefore, there's an epidemic of hate crimes. And we know that this isn't true because the FBI statistics show that aggravated assaults are 0.0002205%. It is minuscule. Now, that doesn't diminish that, you know, the few people that are harmed. We believe that the law should be aggressively and forcefully enforced, but it is not an epidemic.
Well, and that's the pattern that we always see, is this sort of artificial epidemic. Mm-hmm. And if you disagree, then you somehow want that epidemic to continue, and the solution is their solution. I mean, we saw that, you know, even going back to the condoms, you know, we have this huge epidemic of people dying of AIDS, and here's what you need to do. This is just, I guess, a new manifestation of that,
just the phony
that strategy.
Basis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's just, you know, the average person their life isn't in this dark world, and it's hard to understand sometimes the other perversion that's taking place.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, Andrea, that in the what appear to be some of the earlier Massachusetts statutes dealing with sexual orientation, the wording actually says, and you found this, Amy, that sexual orientation, except when the orientation is directed toward a minor child.
Yeah, that's the only time sexual orientation is defined in Massachusetts law. They're taking that one example of a definition and saying that one type of orientation, it is okay to discriminate against
that.
Yeah,
but it implies that they knew somewhere that this was a Pandora's box.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's take a quick break and come back and talk about this a little more. There's much more to cover on this. We're here with Andrea Lafferty of Traditional Values Coalition. This is Brian Kamiker, WTTT. We'll be right back. And we're back. Mass Resistance Radio, Radio Free Massachusetts, here on WTTT 1150 AM. We're talking with Andrea Lafferty of Traditional Values Coalition. That's traditionalvalues.org. It's a group in D.C., Washington, D.C., that is at the forefront of informing people what is going on in Congress and around the country on these hot-button culture war issues. And we started talking about the transgender lobbying day and the laws here in Massachusetts, but this is really happening in Congress right now too, and it's very frightening. You know, one thing, Andrea, that it appears, and you talked about the sickness aspect of this whole thing. I've always wondered whether the transgender movement was just the next step in the whole homosexual movement. I mean, a man or a woman wanting to act like the opposite sex, the next step seems to be actually becoming the opposite sex. It's just this natural progression in the train. We don't know where it's really going to end. Is that...
That's right. I mean, the transgender is not the end of the line. It is just, the beginning or midway. And what's happening is, yes, this type of legislation is being voted on and debated in state legislatures, but it's also happening here in Washington. And I think something significant took place after November of last year when the Democrats took over. We knew this was going to happen, and we're just seeing an onslaught. It's sort of like we're drinking out of a fire hydrant here in Washington. There's so much coming at us. Fake lobby reform bills trying to silence grassroots America, the so-called hate crimes bill, the so-called Employment Non-Discrimination Act, ENDA, it's cleverly written, and they want to make it sound as though it's providing safeguards for employers, but it's really meant to permit gender-confused people to dress in opposite clothing and to really force America to accept this. I mean, it is truly bizarre, and I don't have to tell you, Brian and Amy, this. You understand, and I want to commend you both for your hard work and your persistence on this issue, because it isn't easy, and because it's a difficult issue, people, and men in particular, don't like to talk about it. But we, as Christians, need to be informed citizens, and we need to be engaged in the culture, and we need to not be afraid of political correctness. And this is political correctness taken to the nth degree.
Oh, absolutely. If the problem is if you don't talk about it before it happens, it's going to happen. And this is what happens with David Parker, who's been on the show. The courts have already said, we're going to be teaching this to your children, whether you like it or not. And we, maybe if we'd have been more active a few years before, who knows what. But this is very frightening stuff. I can remember a few years back, I guess it was probably 10 years ago, when there was a transgendered man teacher in an elementary school in Brookline that came to school dressed as a woman because he was, I guess, transitioning or something. It made a big stink. There was a huge outcry, even in liberal Brookline, Massachusetts, which is a very left-wing town. Now what could happen is that same man could be teaching school and come one day dressed as a woman, and it would be illegal to even comment about it.
Mm-hmm. In New York, upstate New York, last fall, parents were called in before school started, essentially, and said, look it, Mr. Smith is now Mrs. Smith, and we don't want to hear anything about it. Any kid who makes a comment is going to be in trouble. And they basically put the smack down on parents. And that is not right. And we, there's something in this for everybody as far as infringement of our religious freedoms and our freedom of speech. Now we've got this ENDA bill, and it will affect employers. It'll affect employees. If you are an employer with 15 or more employees, you could be in trouble. If you're a Bible publisher, if you're a daycare provider, anything that's for profit. If you hire, Mike and he decides he wants to be Michelle, there isn't anything you can do about it. If you work at a children's shoe store, you own a franchise, you can be in trouble. And they are just going after every entity. And ultimately, we know they're going after the church. They're going after faith-based people. But they're trying to work their way in. And this ENDA bill, my goodness, is, half the camel under the tent.
Right. Andrea, what you know, you think of members of Congress, and maybe I'm extremely naive, and I probably am, as having some sense about them. Who are these people that are backing this stuff, and why? I mean, this is so bizarre.
Well, it was most of the Republicans, except for 25, opposed the so-called hate crime bill. So there's 25 Republicans that think this is a great idea. I think there were like 14 Democrats that thought it was a bad idea. So basically, you've got Republicans opposing this kind of stuff, generally speaking, and Democrats supporting it, generally speaking. So it's really, it's coming down to a party line division.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, in the Judiciary Committee, this is in D.C., you had an interesting report. You were there following everything that was said. And the Republicans on that Judiciary Committee had some good questions. Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren from California, who was formerly California's Attorney General.
Right.
He tried to get the Democrats in charge and pushing the bill to define sexual orientation and gender identity, because he knew what problems this could bring. He said out in California, they ran into the problem with NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, and how one couldn't discriminate against them in the rental of a facility because it was just a sexual orientation. So he was really on guard about this. But as I read your report, it said they absolutely refused to give a definition. And yet somehow they can push this bill forward. No one seems to. Well, a few of the congressmen certainly seem to get it, but that's part of Brian's question. How can people keep falling for this and not see the danger of it?
Well, because people, you know, members of Congress are not typical citizens. And whether, you know, what we saw this week, we keep seeing the Democrats saying one thing and doing another. Nancy Pelosi keeps saying, kumbaya, let's get along, everybody, this is going to be an inclusive body. What did they do? They held a lobby reform bill till the 11th hour, introduced it, partly because the Democrats didn't like it, they were fighting, and then they sort of dropped, you know, allowed the American people, you know, the rest of us to see the bill. They are steamrolling things through, but again, they are beholden to certain people. We know that the homosexual population is very small, but they turn out and vote, and they have a lot of money. And so, all these various liberal groups and the homosexual groups have all worked together to bring about a common good for them, which is a Democrat-controlled Congress. But with that Democrat-controlled Congress comes all of an onslaught of legislation that is not pro-family, that will force acceptance of these bizarre behaviors on the American people, because the only way that homosexuals and transgenders and crossdressers, you know, the whole list, the only way they can get acceptance is by using the force of law, the federal law, making people accept them.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, does the president have what it takes to veto this stuff in people's opinion?
I believe the president. The president sent a message that if it, you know, came to his desk, he was advised to veto it. I believe if hate crimes, the so-called hate crimes bill, makes its way to the president's office, he will in fact veto the bill. He said that he thought that there were constitutional problems with it.
How about the ENDA bill, the employment?
We haven't gotten there yet, but mm-hmm. I would think it's the same would hold the same. But I don't know.
So would they have 2/3 majority to overturn it?
They don't have the votes to override vetoes. But again, and what we need to be about is educating the people. The American people need to speak on this. We can't just rely on the president to veto.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Unconstitutional legislation. It's like, well, we cannot do that. We must call, even if we know what Ted Kennedy's position is going to be, you must call and you must write. And I think letter writing or emailing is very good, because you have a document of sending, of contacting that elected official. When you call, they just kind of chicken scratch.
Right. Now, Andrea, on your website, traditionalvalues.org, you have ways that people can get involved with this on a national level. Is that correct?
That's right. If you go to our site, you can put in your zip code. It'll tell you who your person is, and you can contact them.
Yeah, my rep is Barney Frank and Senator Ted Kennedy.
God bless you.
But
you
I will call him.
He needs to be reminded that you are his constituent.
I will do that. So what? Anything else we need to know on this?
Well, I'm just a little worried that in Massachusetts, we've got those two bills, basically versions of the federal bills, rolled into one. We've got a hate crimes and an employment non-discrimination bill rolled into one.
And the governor will sign that.
And unfortunately, yeah, the governor would sign it here. We wouldn't have a veto.
Right.
So it's pretty scary here. And it includes schools.
Oh, yeah.
Which would give a total green light to this movement to go into the schools big time in every way. I mean, we'd have little second graders cross-dressing with the school's approval and whatever. So it's very scary.
You live in a tough state, and I think that, even though you know it's an uphill battle, I, again, encourage people in Massachusetts to contact your state-level, you know, elected officials, as well as your Washington federal officials.
Great.
It's important for you to speak out on all of these issues, even if you think the person isn't with you.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
That's what the left does.
Yeah, that is what they do, and they get a lot done that way. Andrea Lafferty, I want to thank you, Executive Director of Traditional Values Coalition, traditionalvalues.org. You've educated us and, given us a little spur to get moving. So thanks a lot. I really appreciate
it.
God bless you.
The outpost in the Northeast.
All right. This is Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio. We'll be right back. And we're back. Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio, Radio Free Massachusetts, here on WTTT 1150 AM. Well, this past week, there was several things going on in the state legislature, but one of the things this past, I guess it was Tuesday, was a public hearing on a bill to expand the buffer zone around abortion clinics. Some years ago, there was a bill that has the an 18-feet buffer or something like that, and they wanted to extend it, I believe, to 25 feet and add some more restrictions. In my opinion, the whole thing is unconstitutional, and it's a travesty, and wanting to create more of it is even worse. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be down there, but somebody else was. We have on the air Bill Cotter, who is the head of Operation Rescue, orboston.org, which is unquestionably the preeminent pro-life organization in my book in Massachusetts, or anywhere for that matter. Bill, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always great to have you.
Hi, Brian. Thank you very much for having me. Good to be here. I do want to clarify, though, I was not at the buffer zone hearing, but a number of our people were, including at least one attorney who argued on our behalf. To what avail, we'll see, but nevertheless, we got our viewpoint in there.
What exactly are they trying to do?
Well, they're trying to suppress the pro-life message, you know, in spite of the fact that virtually every social and government institution is in the tank with abortion. I think, you know, very much in line with, various spiritual analyses that, you know, the dark can't stand even a glimmer of light, and therefore they're trying to, get us from just being restricted on the sidewalk to totally off the sidewalk. Currently, the buffer zone functions as follows. There's an area that is an 18-foot radius around the entrance of the abortion clinic within which I, as a pro-lifer, cannot go within 6 feet of anybody I'm trying to communicate with, you know, to hand a leaflet to or whatever, without their permission.
Okay.
So they want to remove that so-called floating buffer zone provision and have it simply be a fixed area of 35 feet in radius that goes around the entrance of abortion clinics, within which I will not even be able to stand or walk. Effectively,
so this would include the sidewalk and part of the street, and unless you're walking by, you can't even be on the sidewalk.
Exactly right. Yeah, and you have to be in the statute says that it's one of the exemptions is persons entering or leaving the clinic, employees or agents, or persons using the public sidewalk. adjacent to such facilities solely for the purpose of reaching a destination other than such facility. So if you're going down to the supermarket, there's a Shaw's Market, for example, near the Planned Parenthood, then you'd be exempt if you were, you know, solely on your way there. But if you were to utter some kind of anti-abortion slogan as you walked on your way to Shaw's, then you would be in violation of the statute. So it's in effect making the public sidewalk, and the sidewalk there is only 25 feet wide, which is a pretty wide sidewalk, but this 35-foot buffer zone pretty much takes up the majority of it in front of the clinic and, in effect, turns the sidewalk into the private property of the clinic.
Now, as someone, our group gets involved with protests from time to time, and it's just obvious that the sidewalk is a place where protests can take place, and no one ever challenges that except in this case. So this is one type of free speech that is being squashed. It appears.
Yeah. Certainly, that attempt is being made, and again, I think it's. And if you read some of the testimony, you know, that appeared in the Globe and elsewhere, people, for example, one of the police captain Evans, there used to be the commander of District 14, where Planned Parenthood is, said that. You know, he lamented the fact that it's difficult, as he's trying to get his exact quote here, but in effect he said it was difficult to regulate to prosecute people there. He said, because you're like a basketball referee, it's hard to discern whether or not you come within 6 feet of one another. And he said that the police have only made about a half a dozen arrests there in the last several years, and there were zero convictions. But, you know, I think that carries with it the premise that that they're, you know, the pro-lifers are basically guilty to begin with, and that there should be a lot more convictions. You know, it doesn't allow for the idea that perhaps pro-lifers are obeying the law.
It seems that the problem that you guys are causing is that you are saving lives. I understand that there was something like 60 babies that were born last year that wouldn't have been born had you not been there.
Yeah, well, last year we had a total of 80 that we identified as having turned around. So, yeah, I think to put it in economic terms, which, you know, maybe, you know, gives it a more stark viewpoint, is you have two competing enterprises. One is the abortion clinic, and one is the pro-life side. And they have competing messages, competing missions. But the state has elected to come down on the side of the abortion clinic and to, in effect, yield the sidewalk to the clinic and to make it its own private property without any bill of sale or taxes or whatever. In fact, you know, the Planned Parenthood clinic is tax exempt anyway. It's a charity, you know. And to keep the pro-lifers off the sidewalk. And they do this and argue with a straight face that this is not viewpoint dependent, you know, as if by exempting people who work in or patronize an abortion clinic, you're not thereby making it accessible only to people who approve of abortion, you know, as if there's going to be pro-lifers working in Planned Parenthood.
Wow, boy, it's unbelievable that but as I said, you guys must be making a big difference. I noticed that in the Globe article, the ACLU is taking the interesting approach of agreeing with you that a buffer zone bill at all is unconstitutional, which, you know, for one, you know, one probably good for them. When you get arrested, does the ACLU take your case?
Well, they never have yet. Of course, I never asked them to. I don't know how much they get involved with criminal defense, but we have our own pro-life attorneys. They did weigh in on the last buffer zone bill to oppose it, and on this one as well. So, you know, I think that's more useful from our point of view than to have them come in on the sporadic criminal defense.
Okay, and basically what Operation Rescue does is you... Well, what does Operation Rescue do that drives these people so crazy?
Well, I think it presents the truth about abortion, which even Planned Parenthood used to admit that it's killing children. And, you know, we do so through signs, pictures, verbally, but we're not simply saying when we're out there, you know, abortion kills babies. We're trying to primarily, when we're out doing what we call sidewalk counseling, communicate with clientele coming up the street, to give them a leaflet that has phone numbers and information in there about alternatives to abortion, about some of the risks inherent in abortion, and to persuade them to at least postpone this appointment today, you know, come over to one of our local resource centers, see an ultrasound, get some alternative counseling, and come to the realization that you do, in fact, have a choice. You don't have to choose abortion. That's not your only choice. And, you know, that, of course, counters philosophically and spiritually the message of Planned Parenthood, right. And economically it's a counter as well.
Well, you know, the thing that really gets me is that there are 80 people who are living and breathing that would have died, that would have been torn apart viciously in one of these abortion procedures had you not done what you're doing. I mean, that just just astounds me.
Right.
And I mean, these are and then there are people from the past years and current year that are walking on this earth that would be dead now for not what you guys are doing. How can people get involved with Operation Rescue?
Well, they can phone us, 781-849-6026. And we also have a website, www.orboston.org.
Okay, well, Bill...
Phone number again, 781-849-6026.
Okay, great. And orboston.org. Well, thank you for the update on this. And we're going to be... keeping track of where this bill goes, and we're going to be fighting it. Bill Cotter of Operation Rescue, God bless you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
This is Brian Kammacher, WTTT. We'll be right back. And we're back for our final segment, Brian Kammacher, Mass Resistance Radio, here with Amy. And you should every day, at least 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen, go to massresistance.org. You'll get the up-to-the-date, you know, stuff that's going on. You can get on our email list, massresistance.org. You can get on our email list and get our email updates. What else has been going on this last week? As most of you probably know, they postponed the Constitutional Convention on the Marriage Amendment until the 14th of June. But the power brokers in the legislature have been busy.
Yeah, there was a rally, I believe it was on Thursday, with Therese Murray, head of the Senate, and DeMasi, head of the House of Representatives, and Governor Patrick all cheering and saying, we are going to bury this amendment on the 14th.
Yeah. I mean, the leaders of the state of Massachusetts going to a homosexual rally saying, we're not going to let the people vote, and we're on homosexual marriage, this is very troubling.
And remember that the new Senate president, Therese Murray, has a major homosexual activist high in her office.
Well, you know, I believe what happened is he moved.
Oh, did he move?
Yeah, he's with the Ways and Means Committee. What's his name?
Oh,
Senator
right.
Panagiotakis?
Panagiotakis.
Panagiotakis.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that's hiring the... Yeah. This guy is really bad news. He led some of the most hateful stuff you could imagine.
And the other thing in the high offices of our state government, the Attorney General, Martha Coakley, has also said she's going to bury Goodridge if it does get past the legislature.
Bury the amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Goodridge. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the amendment. That's because I was looking at that headline. Right.
This is, you know, I'm telling you, who do we have in this state? We've got to get moving. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that at this Youth Pride thing that they announced was not only do they have state money, but they have rich homosexual activists that are giving them money to go after your kids. Well, when we get the word out, we don't get private funding. We don't get corporate funding. Our money comes from individuals like you. And that's what keeps this flow of information going and this activism going. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you could send a check to Mass Resistance, P.O. Box 1612, Waltham, 02454. That's Mass Resistance, P.O. Box 1612, Waltham, Massachusetts, 02454. Or go to the massresistance.org website, and you can hit donate and donate over the web. That is how this flow of information and this activism keeps going.
And we are the only watchdog group left in the state
that's willing to do it. All right. So there's a lot going on. Go to massresistance.org. Go to our blog at massresistance.net. This is Brian Kammacher, WTTT. We'll be back next week.